This is an interview with the astronomer royal Sir Martin Rees. For the full show, go to geocast.net.
So we're very lucky to be joined right now by Professor Martin Rees, the astronomer royal. Thank you very much for giving us your time. Please let us know, why are you here today at Jodrell Bank?
Well, I wouldn't have missed this for anything, because it's a wonderful celebration to celebrate 50 years of the Jodrell Bank telescope. And what is amazing is that the telescope is still doing wonderful science of a kind that could not have been envisaged when it was developed, and also that Bernard Lovell is still here to appreciate it. In fact, when it was built, it was just in time to detect the first Sputnik that had been launched at the same time. And now, 50 years later, it is finding evidence for Einstein's theory with a precision 1,000 times or even 10,000 times better than any test we had when the telescope was built, using observations of a kind that couldn't have been conceived by Bernard Lovell back 50 years ago. So it's wonderful that this instrument, 50 years after it was built, is still doing frontier science, and at the same time has become an iconic building, almost as iconic as Stonehenge, in a sense, in the public mind. So it is wonderful that this is a monument to Bernard Lovell, who's still here to appreciate it and inspire us, and that it is still doing great science.
Your career must have corresponded quite closely with Sir Bernard. So what are your impressions of him as the man and as the scientist?
Well, I'm about 30 years younger than he is, I remember hearing him give a lecture when he came to my school. He was already a distinguished professor at that time, so I've always venerated him as an earlier generation. But it's been wonderful to see how, over the last 50 years, his vision has remained so productive.
It's wonderful being able to talk to you as the Astronomer Royal, and I know that many of our listeners will want to know, what does the Astronomer Royal actually do?
Well, to quote Gilbert Sullivan, he does nothing in particular and does it very well. but I think the answer to your question is that the title Astronomer Royal dates back to when the Royal Observatory was founded in 1675, and it was originally the title given to the director of that observatory, who was, I suppose, the first government-funded scientist, because astronomy was the first science to have professionals and need elaborate equipment, apart perhaps from medicine. The oldest science except for medicine, and probably the first science to do more good than harm. But 50 years ago, when the Greenwich Observatory became an effective museum and observations moved overseas, the title of Astronomer Royal was separated from Greenwich and just given to a senior astronomer. And it's been held by Professor Graham Smith, who was at Jodrell Bank, and other radio astronomers, and I'm the current holder of that title.
So you're currently a professor at Cambridge University. Tell us a little bit about the current research that you're doing at the moment.
Well, I'm at the Institute of Astronomy in Cambridge, and my interest is in really two things. One is trying to understand how the very first galaxies formed a few hundred million years after the Big Bang, and use observations to probe very far away, and therefore far back in time, to study them. I'm also interested in the most extreme explosions that we know about in the universe. These are objects called gamma-ray bursts, when more energy than the sun puts out over its 10 billion year lifetime comes out in a few seconds in a jet of gamma rays. And these gamma rays are so powerful that we can detect gamma-ray bursts even at the edge of the universe, as it were. And they are also objects that signal the formation of a black hole. So we are studying these extreme objects, which tell us about the kind of physics which we certainly can't do in the lab. And that reminds us that, of course, there are several motives for doing astronomy. One is simply to explore what's out there. The other is to understand the laws of nature under extreme conditions that we couldn't even conceive of simulating here on Earth, and perhaps discover new laws of nature. So that's another reason for doing these studies of extreme events. And, of course, here at Jodrell Bank, there's been a great deal of work done on neutron stars and pulsars, which are, again, remarkable phenomena. It's amazing to think of a whole star squeezed to dimensions of a few miles and spinning at hundreds of revs per second. But that's the kind of thing being studied here with this marvellous telescope.
It's remarkable. You said, mentioned earlier, that the Astronomer Royal was a position, one of the first government positions allocated back, yes, back when it was instituted. Trying to solve the longitude problem. Now I think we've solved that problem quite well. Yes, yes. What do you see the role of astronomy today in today's society?
The role of astronomy? Well, astronomy is still a frontier science. if you think of what the frontiers of science are, they're the very big, the very small, and the very complicated. And astronomy is concerned with the very big. And indeed, if you want to understand the Big Bang, we've got to understand the synthesis between the very big and the very small, because the entire universe was once squeezed to the size of an atom, perhaps, and we need to understand unified theory of the large and small to make progress. So astronomy is a fundamental science, but also it's really an environmental science, because the sky is part of our environment, and indeed, just in a simple-minded way, the ordinary night sky that we can all look up at is part of our environment, and indeed a special part, because it's the one feature of our environment that's been shared by all people at all times in all parts of the world. So it's very special, and that's why it's fascinating. So astronomy has that function, but also, of course, it's advanced because we can use new technologies to study the cosmos in new ways. We can use space probes to go to the planets. We can use telescopes in space to observe X-rays, gamma rays, and infrared radiation that wouldn't get down through the atmosphere to the ground. So it's a subject that's vastly expanded. And as it has expanded, the universe has become far more interesting. Just to take one example, we can now look up at the sky and think of the stars not as just points of light, but each star, or at least most stars, are now known to be surrounded by retinues of planets, just as our sun is surrounded by the planets of which Earth is one. And so we can now think of the night sky as really being a place where we look at thousands of other planetary systems, maybe some as complicated as ours and maybe some with life on them.
What do you see as the biggest questions in astronomy at the moment?
I would say to find out about whether there are Earth-like planets elsewhere, to see if there's life on any of them, to understand more about how galaxies and stars were formed in the first place, and to understand about how the amazing chain of events that started with the Big Bang 13 or 40 billion years ago led to the formation of atoms, stars, planets, biospheres, and eventually brains of creatures able to wonder about it all.
These are exciting times in astronomy and in science in general, and we're here. And we are here celebrating the anniversary of the launch of Sputnik, and you're about to present an award. Can you talk a little bit about that, please?
Well, I'm about to present an award called the Grote-Reber Award, which is given to a distinguished radio astronomer. And the winner this year is one of my heroes, Govind Swarup, who is an Indian who has, in India, built two real state-of-the-art distinctive radio telescopes. Indeed, he's built one which is, in a sense, the largest telescope in the world. And he is an inspiring figure because it was wonderful for Bernard Lovell to do what he did here, but to build something in India, given all the problems of working there, is an even greater achievement in a way. So it's a great privilege for me to be able to present this award to someone who is, along with Bernard Lovell, one of my other scientific heroes.
Sir Martin Rees, thank you very, very much indeed for taking the time out in your busy schedule to talk to us.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good to be able to talk to you. Thank you.